All right. Ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Welcome to Cold Email with Basha and Olive. Episode 4, What Really Happened at the American Illustration Party.
Hello, and welcome to Cold Email.
I am Olive.
I'm Basha. And today you're going to hear about what really happened at the American Illustration Party.
Sounds like we're on a reality TV show. But it feels very reality TV, like the whole scenario of the American Illustration Party. Like,
it's
the,
true.
Just what it is.
I know I came up with this idea, but I've been dreading talking about it.
I don't feel so much dread.
You didn't puke. But,
spoilers. Yeah.
So, question one. Olive, what really happened at the American Illustration Party?
I can tell you no business connections were made, that's for sure.
Let's start with, what is the American Illustration Party?
So it is a party for this book, this anthology of illustration that comes out every year called American Illustrators, and it's a big book full of people who do stuff for clout clients, to riff off our last episode. And you basically pay $70 to submit two pieces, and then they don't take it because you're not famous. And it's just a lot of... It's the party is for the release of this book, and they have little tables where you can go pick up your book there, and it's an open bar. And every Tom, Dick, and Harry of illustration is there getting wasted off their ass at the open bar.
That's about it.
It's on this venue on the Lower East Side. It's a cool venue. It was a beautiful place. I actually learned recently that it was an old synagogue from a friend's cousin's New York City history Instagram.
Yes to all of that. Yes. I would also like to add, hey, $70 for two pieces isn't so bad, right? As in terms of paying for contests.
Yeah, but it's throwing away money, though, because you're not going to get into it. Oh, also, they did a really evil thing the year that we went, where it was like, would you like to talk about that one?
No, that's all you, Olive.
Okay, they did this really evil thing where, as like, it was supposed to be like a woman in illustration awareness thing, where it was like women make like
80%.
Yeah, 80%.
70 or 80% less than men for freelance or just in general.
Yeah, it was like they make 40% less or something like that, up to 40% less. So they made first of all, they assumed which illustrators that submitted work to this, which one were women. When you submit, you do not have to put a gender. There's not even an option for that. So they assumed all the women in this book, and then they made all of their illustrations like 30% smaller to be like they only make 70%. So it's only 70% of the size that the men's are.
And then they put them all in the back of the book, right?
Yes, they put them all in the back of the book. And then at the party, they put all the women's, again, assumed women's illustrations together on one side of the room or like in a corner. I volunteered to help set up for this show. And all of us who were setting up were not men. And the people who were telling us what to do were men, and it was very fishy. It was very fishy. It was like, they were like, oh, take all the women's things and put them in this corner. And we were all like, what?
Excuse me. Yeah. I mean, I see what they were trying to do, right?
Yeah.
Like, I remember being like, oh, like, they're trying to raise awareness, but by doing the opposite of, like, the right
thing. It was in the complete wrong way. It was like, that is not how you should go about it at all.
The intentions might have been there, but it was horrible execution.
The intentions were completely negated by the execution.
Horrible thing.
Horrible.
And then for a while, I didn't know what it was called. And I kept saying, this was a few years ago, so this was a popular phrase, we live in a society of illustrators, not even the same organization.
Which is a different organization and different clout contest.
Totally different. We do live in a society of illustrators. I guess the other background you need to know is that Pratt students volunteer. Like, there are a few clout professors.
There's actually just one clout professor who knows these people for that.
But didn't there used to be more?
I don't think so. It was only through the one person.
I see.
And that was because if you weren't in that person's class, then you didn't get to volunteer. You had to know him.
Oh, fuck.
You had to know this person. Or you had to know somebody who is in the class to be
that
able
could
to
be
get
like,
in
Mike,
volunteer.
Can my friend
this.
Come? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So there was one illustration class with one very well-established illustrator who, you know, is like a fixture of illustration in New York City, especially
yes.
in like Parsons Pratt, the other schools maybe
yes.
they teach at.
Yeah.
So then there's always, that person always brings in a couple of students to volunteer to set up and work the event.
Yes.
So Olive set up, I think, that first year we went.
Yes.
Since Pratt students are working the door, it normally costs like $80 for a student ticket, like $100 or $200 for a regular ticket. But when Pratt fools see other Pratt fools roll up, they're like, yo, come through.
Yes, they let you in. So if you know people in that class who are working the door, it's like, okay, come at this time for my shift. And
right.
We'll just
so
let you
it's
in.
Like a Pratt. Swamp.
Yes. And also Parsons too. It was a
Parsons. So students letting students in. And then
yes.
considering this is like one of the first times that a lot of illustration students get to meet, be in the same room as basically every famous illustrator in New York, like so many art directors, everyone was like, holy shit, I am not gonna waste this opportunity. That's just supposed to be a party. Like, I'm bringing business cards. So for days before and until the night of, people were in the imaging lab, the computer lab and printing lab for Pratt, printing and cutting business cards very meticulously.
Oh my god.
Which I remember made both of us really anxious.
It was so anxious. Because people were so showy about it. They're, oh my god, are my business cards good enough? I want
right.
to talk
Right, and it
to
was
this.
A small room, so you saw it all.
Yeah, it was impossible to ignore. I think I had to be in there because I was in independent publishing, and that was, like, hard to watch.
No, this was the... Oh, you're right, it was senior year. Because we were all 21, too.
Yes, yeah.
That was also a problem. We were all recently 21.
So everybody is like, oh my god, American Illustration, I'm
yeah.
gonna go to the open bar.
Yeah. So, okay, now that I've gone twice, spoiler alert, we've gone twice. Olive has taken me as a plus one twice. So this is the most awkward event of
so
all time,
awkward.
Considering you are 21, everyone is 35 to, like, 50, and everyone's, like, an established illustrator, and you're like, I actually have no one to talk to except the people I would hang out with at Pratt. I'm not gonna go up to
Exactly. Yeah, and also, the biggest thing is like, at that time, you think that's what you're supposed to do, but it's not. It's supposed to be a chill event, and you're supposed to just hang out with your boys.
Something I learned over the years is that just every illustrator has to black out once at the American Illustration Party. They make their drinks notoriously strong.
They do.
I'll just say I fell victim to it. And you couldn't move through. The room is three levels with, like, balconies. And it's just packed. Like, you can't get through. And everyone's just with their friends. And you're just seeing every, like, person that you've ever admired on Instagram. And you're just like, I gotta go puke now.
Yes.
I guess you gotta do it once.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it happens. It's college. It was also the perfect storm. Like, that is... There are so many stories of other famous illustrators doing the exact thing, and you were definitely not the first to puke that night. Absolutely not. It was fine at the end of the day. A harrowing experience, maybe.
It was not the best place to network. I didn't
no.
try. I
not
was like,
place,
I'm here to,
the...
like, drink
yeah.
and hang out with my friends, which I did, so
As
I guess...
As was everybody else. Nobody's there to network.
Yeah. And then also I freaked out, and I was like, please take me to this next year so I can redeem myself. We went. It was so boring.
It was extremely boring. I think we left at like
10:30. Except we saw Marg and Ronnie.
Yes, we talked to Marg and Ronnie. Besties, that was so cool.
Sweet illustrators that we had as teachers that are like the coolest older women besties.
Yes. Randomly, Marg doesn't remember me, whom I had as a professor. Ronnie
but
does.
Ronnie does, who I had, had for one,
a guest
2 weeks.
Crit one time.
No, you weren't you in...
Oh, yeah, but she doesn't remember me from that. She remembers me from my guest crit in Kelly's.
Yo, you're memorable.
I try.
So, a similar event. Yes, I've found myself in this situation more than once, drunk at a professional event, because they're awkward and weird and there's nothing to do.
Yeah, except be drunk and meander around.
I got somehow a ticket to Young Guns through work. Went with my boss. It was in Times Square-ish. Yeah, it was cool. But, you know, considering I didn't know anyone, they're just so awkward.
It is. It's, yeah. They're constructed for you to go get, for it to be awkward and to get drunk.
It reminds me of being at a bar mitzvah in middle school. Or for you, perhaps a sweet 16.
Yeah, it was, read my mind, being at a sweet 16.
Where you know, like, you're the friend from another school.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know 3 people. Yeah. And you're just like, I am gonna sit on my hands tonight.
Yep.
At a wedding where you don't know anyone. Like, you can dance, you could, like, whatever. It's probably still mad awkward, but yeah, it's just like you're sitting. These parties are weird. Maybe because we're just starting out, but they're strange. And then you've been to the Society of Illo's portfolio night,
yeah,
which I guess is different.
That was harrowing in a much different way. It was all the seniors at Pratt got to bring their illustration portfolios. This was just for illustration students. Anybody in the program got to bring their portfolios to the Society of Illustrators to present them to a bunch of art directors. They were just sitting at tables and you got to just line up and show them your work.
Wow, it's like a job fair.
Yeah, it was like a job fair, but bad, because it was really stressful.
But more personally, personal criticism.
Yeah, it was personal criticism. There was this one art director that I remember there. I don't remember what they were from, but everybody, they gave, it was like a really sought after job. And everybody who went to them, this person was so, like, annoying and didn't say, like, anything. They didn't give good critique. They just told everybody that their work wasn't consistent enough, and that was, like, the only thing. And also, this art director was, like, a 25-year-old, like, one of those random boys that skateboarded into the art directing office, and they handed him the job.
Yes, the tweet Olive is referring to is because I just asked the public, do you know this tweet? Like, can you send it to me? And it's like, women, I worked for years to, like, get to this, but blah, 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 spent so long. It, unpaid internships. Men, I accidentally skated backwards into Vice HQ, and now I'm art director.
Yep, that was exactly what this art director was. Yeah, but even at then, like, I remember after that crit, I was like, damn, that was some bullshit. It made me feel bad about myself, but at the same time, I was like, that is some bullshit, man. What an idiot. Like,
that's sick that you recognized it. Do you think that these events, whether they're portfolio reviews, talks, or competition parties?
Yeah.
Awards parties, I guess, are important or useful for any reason?
Having gone through them, I think they taught me about how to act, and they taught me about what is important and what is not important at these things. How to, like, at the portfolio reviews, how to pick through criticism and when to go to things. And that also is with contests, you know, which contests are stupid, when to enter them and when to not. And the parties, when to work and when to relax. It's like, okay, this is a party, just people, illustrators coming together wanting to get drunk and have fun. It's like, and it's also just like the experience of it. I think having gone to all those things changed me as a person. I would not be the same if I didn't go to American Illustration and witness it. Just like seeing it, you know, the experience of it will stay with me.
Could you say how the sausage is made?
Yeah.
I think the talks are important.
Yes. Oh, the talks are great. I love going to talks. When they had those at Pratt, those were fantastic. I love hearing people talk about their lives and their work.
I think the talks are, like, unequivocally important and useful.
I'd say those are so much more important and useful than any competition or party that you could go to.
Yeah, they've helped me more than anything.
Yes, completely agree.
So if you can get to those, definitely do, especially if they're free. If you're a student, there's probably discounts.
Yeah. And a lot of people, like, do them on, like, through organizations. Like, I know Women in Animation has, like, talks all the time online. I don't know if they're free, but that's, like, a really good resource, especially if you're not a cis man. They, like, you can go into their organization, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, those things are very much more available, I think, especially than parties and contests.
And yeah, I think they're great.
Yeah. I love going to talks. This may or may not be off the record, but remember when Julian Glander came to talk? That was a really good one. That was so fun.
That was a very good one. I think about that one all the time.
Yeah, me too.
There are a lot I think about all the time. I feel like that one changed me a little. I think a good talk will change you a little.
It will, yeah.
I mean, I feel like at every one, I just learned so much about what I liked, what I didn't like, good practices, things I wanted to do. Things I hated, things I couldn't stand,
yeah.
Things I couldn't get enough of.
Yes. Agree to all of that.
Yeah, and just to know someone's technical practice also sometimes is very interesting.
That, especially like when professors would come in and talk, or professors would bring in people to talk. Like, even I just remember Rudy. Every semester, without fail, he would always do his presentation about his career. I watched that presentation twice, I think, because I took him two semesters. But, you know, watching it twice, it's like you learn something, you know, from... And they also, like, say different things, little different things every time. It's like I enjoyed it very much, and I learned a lot from those things, especially from... when you can tell when a person who's giving a talk is genuine, even if they have rehearsed it a lot and given that same talk a lot of times. It's still genuine, and you can always take something out of it.
Def. Hey, if you can't meet people at the American Illustration Party, as we've found out you can't, how do you meet someone?
I think, at least for me, a lot of it has been through other friends who know people and through work. You know, you reach out to a client, they like you, you do work with them, mm-hmm. you become kind of buds, acquaintances, and then you could, like, say hi to them at events, like at American Illustration. I had worked for an artist rep, saw them at the party, and I was like, oh, hey, what's up? How are you doing? And they were like, oh, come take a picture with us for the Instagram. It's like, it's through work and friends of friends and reaching out, I think.
Yeah, I think I am still struggling with that, honestly.
Especially... Oh, absolutely, me too. It's never ending. And I'm not good at making friends.
I don't know how true that is, but yeah, it's very, it's like the first day of school a lot of times is how it feels.
Yes, that's
or
so true.
Or being at a Sweet 16 where you don't know anyone.
Yes, but you know friends of friends there, and you know, they introduce you to people, and even if you only meet one person that night, you met one person.
It's true. I have weirdly found friends on Instagram.
Yes, that too. Oh, that's a really good one.
Like, someone will just follow me, and I'll be like... Like, I'll follow back and be like, yo, love your work.
Yes, that is a really good one.
That's how I met that, or, like, became friendly-ish with that person who sold me the basketball clock.
Yeah, I have friends like that, too, from, like, two music videos that I did. I have, like, two people who don't live in New York. I think they're, like, from California. Who I, like, will comment. They'll comment on me. I'll comment to them. I'm like, oh, hey,
nice,
what's
nice.
Up? Yeah, like, sick video.
Maybe it's just a lot of that.
Yeah. It's years all different all interconnected things and getting better at talking to people and using Instagram and going to events and knowing how to act at events.
I was thinking also, we at one point, dear listeners, had been thinking about getting a studio space for a long time. And one of our criteria was that it had to be in a kind of collaborative open space.
Yes, it had to have, like, a common space or, like, events.
Yeah.
Like, it was conducive
to community. A community-oriented space is what I'm trying to say.
Because that makes... It creates smaller events that you can go to, you know, where it's not, like, an insane three-story venue where you're half drunk trying to talk to people.
And then also, like, school helps a lot. I know not everyone has the luxury of that, but that definitely, in our cases, helped immensely.
Yes. Met a lot of good friends, a lot of good pals. A lot of acquaintances, too, who you're, like, connected to because of the shared experience of school.
Have you ever cold emailed someone and been like, I'm not looking for work, I'm just here to say, love your work, like, we should be friends?
Exactly once. But it wasn't, like, exactly like that, but it was, I think it was the emo guy on Twitter. I was like, hey, you're from Connecticut, I'm from Connecticut, we're both emos and illustrators and designers, like, we should collab sometime. Never emailed me back, which I didn't expect, because he's also, like, 23. I'm like, you don't answer your professional email, you fuck.
I don't know if I've ever done it. I'm very scared. I realize. Maybe I should. Maybe we all should.
I feel like you do it. I mean, you do, like, a soft, like, we should work together. Yeah.
Yeah. I've definitely made, I have some friends from that. Like, not that I've ever really met or talked to, or that I would be able to pick out of a crowd. Now that we're saying this, I'm like, hey, I should email, like, those guys that one thing back. Like, they're nice. It's nice to have a bunch of little friends.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Shall we segment to it, Olive?
Yes, segment two. Contests and professional awards. We touched on this a little bit before, but honestly, I think there's, if you're into that, go for it. But personally, from my own experience, to discuss this through my experience, is that Pratt made them out to be super, super important. I was very concerned with them senior year. I wanted to get into the books and the things and do these contests, because that's how they tell you that you measure your success, is if you can get into this book, you are good. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of them, like the industry itself, the books are not, and the books and the contests and professional awards are not a level playing field. There's a lot of judges who know people already, and big names that they can recognize even if they're not seeing the name of the illustrator attached to the piece. And they're going to go to get in no matter what. So I think there's a lot of gatekeeping and a lot of... it's not easy for young people to get into the profession. And there's just a lot of gatekeeping. And I think contests like that in books and anthologies do a lot of that gatekeeping. If you're into it, go for it. I mean, like, you're gonna get into it eventually if you do enough work and do enough stuff for clients and you know somebody. Yeah, you will get into it eventually. But personally, it's just like, you know, I'd like to work for clients and stuff and do big things, but being in the book is not as important to me as doing the work. And that's my two cents.
It's very, very comprehensive. I can't say I've ever paid to apply to something, so I really don't have the same experience. Design is different.
I mean, I've only done it like twice, but that was enough to be like, hey, this is a fucked up system.
Did you pay student rates?
I paid student rate once, and then I paid professional rate once, I think. That
it
was
just
it.
Seems like a big fucking scam.
It is absolutely a scam. 110% a scam. Yeah, because again, they're really only going to put in the people they know and trust to put in this book, but otherwise they're just taking your money.
Do you think it, like, actually does help your career? Probably.
I don't know how much, because it puts your work out there, but doing work also puts your work out there. It's like, again, I'd much rather just do the work and, you know, people see that I work with these people rather than a book that...
Maybe it's important for, like, editorial illustrators more so.
I think so, yeah. And especially because I'm moving away from that. I mean, I'd still do editorial if any art director ever listens to this. I'll do a piece. I like the challenge, but...
Yo, hey, New York Times!
But it's not something I'm actively looking for because I don't like the nature of that...
the industry.
That industry. I think it sucks big time.
I gotta say, I don't know if I'll ever pay to apply to something that will probably reject me, I think.
Exactly, yeah, it's like...
There are wiser ways to spend your money.
Yes, there is.
In my humble opinion, And that's not true for everyone.
I mean, there are some books that you can pay to just get into, like Workbook. You can pay money and have your book in it. That's how it works. I'm like, if I'm going to pay
money, that's like you're paying for publicity.
That. Yeah, it's like, because it's like an anthology that people want to be. Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm going to do that. I would do that rather than, you know, do a contest where I may or may not get into it.
I guess you see it as an investment. And then after a certain point, which maybe we'll ask Alex about. Which we'll definitely ask Alex
I think she
about.
Could definitely shed a lot more light on the, like, from, and she, like, judges a lot of these things, so I think for her to, like, shed more light on what it's like to judge them and what it's like to see these things from an insider's point of view would be very interesting to see. I'm intrigued.
Part 2, The Interview with Alex Sidrin.
Alex Sidrin is an award-winning illustrator and art director based in Queens, the world's borough, NYC. Alex is also a professor in the Communications Design Department at Pratt Institute since 2016. She is recently an associate art director at the New York Times, and other art direction roles include art director at Taste at Penguin Random House, deputy art director at Time Out New York and Time Out Kids, and an in-house freelance art director for both Women's Wear Daily and Refinery 29. As an illustrator, Alex's clients include The New York Times, New York Magazine, Vice, Food 52, Zappos, Airbnb, Entertainment Weekly, Baltimore Museum of Art, and many more. She's also won over 10 awards from organizations like American Illustration, Society of Illustrators, and 3x3.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
So the title of the episode is actually what really happened at the American Illustration Party. I didn't know that! You know, we don't get so into it, but we do talk about how everyone pukes and stuff.
Yeah, it's shitty.
Self-included.
Like, not professional.
No, it's not. And then, so, yeah, that kind of kicked off our conversation about how... like, these parties are about, like, seeing your context, like, pre-existing, not, like, meeting people at all. And when we were in school and everyone was sneaking in, everyone brought, like, stayed up really late making business cards and got really, like, nervous about it. And then no one networked, right? Because everyone was, like, blacked out with their friends. So how, like, do you kind of agree with that assessment of American Illustration and similar parties? First question.
I don't disagree. I do not disagree with that assessment of the American Illustration Party specifically. And the only reason is because I've also been one of those drunk people at that party. But I also remember going, I think the first time I went, I was actually in grad school, which is in this particular context. In most contexts, I would not compare grad school to being an undergraduate. But in this context, I will, because it's the same sort of thing. You don't really know anyone and you're there and you're just like, and you have like your cards, but there's also an open bar and that is why people go to this party. It's also, you know, being an illustrator can be very, I mean, it is a solo pursuit for the most part. You work with all these people 90% of the time, you don't meet them. And then you've got your other illustrator friends, and maybe you share a studio with some of them, maybe you don't, but it's like, you're not, it's, you know how it is. Most of the time, if you're collaborating, it's because you felt like it, not because you're doing it professionally. It's very one and done when you're an illustrator. So there's this party, there's an open bar, and you're just like, yes, my people. Like, there are people I literally only see at that party, and that's it. And some of these are people, it's either art directors I've worked with or illustrators I've hired. And some of them are people I've worked with for years, and I meet them once at the American Illustrator Party. American Illustration, whatever. And you know, it's, for me, because I have the art director background also, there's also photographers and photo editors there, and you can always tell where they are because they're always in their own corner being like photo people and being like, oh my God, these shitty illustrators, they like can't hold their alcohol. So I'll say hi to them. But at the end of the day, I do agree with that from a fun perspective, but I don't necessarily think you can't network there. Definitely have to come a little early, but it really depends on the person. Some people really have no interest. And I mean, some people, like people in hiring positions, some people are coming after work. They just want to drink. They just want to like chill, and they're not, they don't really have the energy or the interest at that moment. But I've met a lot of people there, especially once I got into art direction, who I ended up contacting down the line. Or it's always nice if somebody recognizes you from work you've done and they approach you. I mean, no one hates that. And if somebody's weird about that, they're an asshole. That's kind of how I feel. So I do think business cards can be helpful. In this one context, I never advise people to spend tons of money on business cards. In situations like this, it's nice to be able to be like, here, 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 because everybody the next day goes through all their business cards and they're like, oh, this person, this person, this person. So it's definitely not a waste. But I would come as like a first-time post-grad illustrator. I would go with low expectations and just be like, let's just have fun. Let's chill. I've had a situation before where I spoke to someone there for like 20 minutes before I knew who they were. And then I was like, oh my God, I love your work. We all, I think, just as art people, feel gross networking, like with a capital N. We're all just like, ugh. But we are all like that, which means that actually while we're doing it, we just kind of want to like connect with people who care about the same crap that we do, which is what sort of brings us all together. Illustrators love talking illustration with other illustrators. We're very niche like that. So for that purpose, I think if you go with the expectation of just, oh, I might meet some people, I might talk to them, as opposed to like, I'm definitely going to get work next week because I went to the American Illustration Party. Lowered expectations, I think, are good. The end. But it's fun.
No, that was good.
It's easy.
Definitely attest to illustrators loving to talk about illustration there. I remember like senior year, I think we went, and we had another friend that was there, and I was just like, we were pointing out people like, oh, there's Julian Glander. Oh my God, there's Lisk Fang. Like, oh, just like loving to talk about people there.
Not to like gossip. Lisk is a friend of mine. We went to grad school. Mm-hmm. We've worked together a lot. And Lisk, I love Lisk so much. She's one of the most phenomenal people. But I cannot hang out with her at these parties because she gets mobbed because she has so many fans. And she'll always be like, she'll be like, I'm sorry. I have to, and I'm like, go be with your fans, Lisk. Like, you're incredible.
She's so famous. I can like see her beret like across the room.
Her beret.
Wow.
It happens to her at Icon too. She's just like surrounded by people. And I'm like,
yeah.
See you later. She's dope. But it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's really rare at any other point that all these people will be in the same room.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of job. So it is nice to kind of see and be seen. Again, I think we all feel a little gross thinking about networking, but the reality of it is like, go to a party, meet some people, have a few drinks. It's more chill, or like the mindset can be more chill than I think what it's made out to be, especially when you're a student. It does feel very heightened when you're a student. And
it feels like you're at like a ball wearing like
jeans. Oh yeah, totally.
And you're like oh shit, like it's like you're watching fake like not that people are celebrities, but you're like, oh my God, I follow them on Instagram, like I can't believe they're here and we're in the same room and they don't know who I am.
It really is like that. It's hilarious. It's hilarious as it happens. I actually skipped the last one, the one in 2019, because I was pregnant and I was like, okay, well, I don't want to go to this if I can't drink, so I'm not going. And I was working at the Times, which would have been like the best time to go. And I was like, nah, not doing it. And obviously that was before COVID. And then now I regret it. I'm like, you didn't go to the party. You should have gone to the party. Too bad. We'll go to the next one. And I can drink. But yeah, it's true.
So like for the young illustrator heads, what, like, cause you know, like it's intimidating to roll up without like the crew or like to really not know anyone. So do you have any advice for people who want to be popular at the party / know people at the party? What's the best way to meet people that isn't like, hey, I love your work. We're like both at American Illustration right now in general, which I just want to say, I think is a bigger question. I'm like kind of trivializing it by being like, oh, like I want to be popular at the party. But I think it is like,
well, everyone wants to be popular at
the party. Yeah, I think early career though, it is like tough to meet people. It's like a lot of creative, like illustration's very isolating. I feel like freelance graphic design can be very isolating. That's where I am. I feel very isolated. And this is obviously like a weird time, but in normal life, like what?
It's still isolating in normal life. And it's,
yeah.
I mean, so I have thoughts about this. I'm going to start macro and then I'll go micro. On the, like, generally speaking, I will say that community is really important in this field for the exact reason you just outlined, which is that it can be very isolating. And I also think, and this is a huge generalization, obviously, but there's a little truth to it. I think a lot of people who get into illustration and on a certain level get into graphic design are sort of, not introverts, just sort of like, we're people who are okay, like, with tunnel vision for, you know, 10 hours a day. We are people who are personality-wise okay with that. We've made it our jobs. That's a big part of the job, is to just be head down for 10 hours and not talk to anyone. So getting all those people together can actually be a challenge day to day. I mean, I've had a lot of friends, and you've probably heard of stuff like this too, where it's a drink and draw, or it's like a bar meetup we're doing on like a quarterly basis. And like, maybe we'll look at some portfolios over some wine, like get crazy, you know, whatever. And I always find myself having to drag myself to those. I'm like, oh, it's a Thursday. Do I really want to go drink with a bunch of other illustrators? And my husband, Christopher Sfati, who Basha knows because she used to work in the same office as him. He always has said to me, he's like, Alex, go, because you are always so amped when you get back. And I'm like, I don't feel like it. Everyone's so annoying. And then I get there and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And I get like into the zone because, oh, I do really care about this stuff and I am alone all the time. And it is nice to like talk about this stuff over a beer with people who are also in it. It's not rocket science, but I think just a lot of us, even the more sociable among us, sometimes feel like, oh, do we really have to go do this? And then we go and we're like, that was awesome. I always end up staying out late when I say to Chris, oh, I'm just gonna be at this stupid thing for like 45 minutes. I always end up staying out all night because I'm so amped to like be with my people. We're just not people until we're together. And you know, the American Illustration Party is the same way. It is, like I was saying before, in my opinion, one of the keys to surviving post-art school in these fields is building your community. And you guys have it baked in when you went to art school. I didn't, and I didn't realize this was like all of this stuff was happening until I was actually in grad school. I was like a lone wolf at that point. But you start there in school with your people, and then, yeah, you start to go out to these things, and you feel a little awkward, but you start to, like, meet people and see people. And it's like, and the thing about colleagues is, like, not everyone has to be your best friend, but we are all artists, and I do, and we have these things that we want to talk about, and you can bond very quickly with people. And I think it's really important to have people like that in your corner, because they just get what you're going through, especially if you tell someone you draw for a living, they're like, oh my God, that's so fun. And like, probably not that serious. And you're like, it's actually so much more serious than you would think by definition. And I need my people who understand what our challenges are. They're very different, like mental, professional challenges than other maybe more conventional career paths. So yeah, I would just say when you go to these things, first of all, remember you're at a party. I have absolutely no shade to throw. I don't think I've ever had like a, I've had like two deeply weird interactions ever in my life at these parties. And like, those were specific and weird and had to do with the person. It's really not that common. It's just like a normal party where it just happens to all be people who do the same thing for a living. But also remember you're at a party. You don't have to go overboard with like the business talk and the networking, whatever. It can be natural. Like, you guys go to parties all the time. You're young, you're hip, you go to parties, or you used to, you know, before COVID. If you can approach it in the same way and be like, we're here to chill first And if we end up talking business, we talk business, because honestly, that happens organically anyway. We're all interested in it. But I wouldn't, there's no need to feel like, oh my God, I have to like hammer people over that. If you're there, people know you're an illustrator, like first and foremost. And secondly, I think there are just so many more ways to bond with somebody. Most of the other illustrator friends I have who I'm close with are probably people I would have been friends with anyway. And that's going to be true in any professional setting. There's what you do, and then there's the person you are. I do not get along with every illustrator on the planet because there are so many different people. But the people I do, it's not just because of that. I am rambling, so I don't know if that made any sense. But I guess what I'm trying to say is walk into the party and remember it's a party. Like, take some of the pressure off. You talk business, you talk business, you know? I can only assume lawyers have to do the same crap, too. They go to this stuff. It's just way less fun. They don't get as publicly drunk as artists do, I guess. Maybe they do. I don't know. I only know one lawyer. It's fine. And I keep trying to get her to be a copyright lawyer. I'm like, we need your help. She's like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that guy, Josh, I think his name is.
Oh, Josh. Oh, no, I need two lawyers. Okay, I love Josh.
So onto the American illustration side of it, rather than the party. So you're a really accomplished illustrator who's won a lot of contests, and you're now on the judging side of them. So we wanted to ask you about your experiences with industry awards, like throughout your career.
Okay. I had no idea there were industry awards until 2012. I didn't know. I graduated college in 2009. And I was in New York for a couple of years doing lots of different jobs. And then I went to grad school in 2012. And people were like, oh, like this and that, American Illustration, 3x3, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, they give awards for this? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, I did not know that. I was like, that's cool. So I have very big feelings about the industry awards because I do think they play a role. I think if I'm being like a really Pollyanna about it, if I'm having a really good day, I would almost go as far to say as they help embolden the community. Like, it's to be recognized by your peers, I think, is a very meaningful thing. Especially early career, it really makes you feel like, okay, like I'm onto something. You know, we're illustrators, we don't get like promoted or anything. And I will tell you right now, somebody's hit list of their clientele is not always that. I mean, as an art director, it's good to know, but that's not how I judge how capable someone is, because it's just, I've learned it's just not the way to do it. I judge by portfolios, period. But I support the existence of the awards generally, but they're very, very problematic to me for a number of reasons, specifically the fact that they are cost prohibitive. There are whole years that I have just not submitted to awards because I was like, I'm just not spending that money right now. This year was one of them for me, actually. I was just sort of like, I don't know. I was like a couple months postpartum or something. And I was just like, I don't have the energy for this right now. And like, you know, that's my privilege. Maybe I just didn't feel like it wasn't a serious hit for me to not do that. But is it good for exposure? Yes. Is it the only thing that's going to get exposure? Absolutely not, especially because so much of it's digital now. It used to be you'd get into these big books, American Illustration being one of them. They'd send the books out to all the media companies, all the art departments, like wherever, and then you'd flip through them and be like, this person, that person. They still do that, but I think you guys know, and I know, that is certainly not the only way people are finding work. So I do think they have value on a certain level, but it is not an even playing field because they are expensive, and it's not, I mean, SOI is the same way, and I love the society, and they know it's a problem too, but they're not for profit. I mean, it's a double-sided problem because the money, it's not expensive for no reason. These are mostly not for profits, and this is how they make money. But making money off of us means, obviously, you start to see a lot of the same people winning over and over again. And that has nothing, and their work is great. You know, it's not a hit on their work, but it's more like if you can afford to keep, it's not dissimilar from like the SATs. You know, some people can afford to take the SATs 10 times until they get like a decent score, and some people can't. And you end up having a divide there. This is really the same way. I always really encourage my students to apply, because a lot of the times the school will cover it, or like it won't be at cost to the student, and they'll give money as prizes, and I think that's a good thing generally. But once you're out of school, it's coming out of your pocket, and it is crazy. It's hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So I have only judged one competition ever, and it was a new one this year that Leon Edler and his business partner, because they run an operation called Room 50, and he's an illustrator I've hired, I think, at like every place I've ever art directed, because he's so fantastic. He started his own competition because he was like, this is bullshit. I'm starting a free competition, and we're gonna have judges, and fuck this. Like, this is what we're doing. And it was actually really amazing, because the diversity of the work itself was huge. Were there some duds? Of course. I mean, it's competition, you know, it's like, it's a competition, it's open to everyone, but there was some incredible work. And I got exposed to people whose work I'd never seen, a lot of them had been working for a couple of years. A lot of them were in Europe, you know, because he's in the UK, and that was just like, you know, more their area. But it's not just that. There were 10 people who I kind of scooped up and said, these people I'm going to hire the next time I'm in like a hiring position. And I really don't know if I would have found their work otherwise. So my general opinion is that there should be more free competitions. It's hard, because free competitions mean free labor, but I am sort of the belief that if you're doing well in your field, and I think this is true for any field, it is on you to uplift the people who are just coming into the field. And sometimes that means a little unpaid labor. Some people can afford to do more of it than others, but like, I think it's a problem. I've sort of spun out, as I want to do, but this is my bottom line on competitions. Apply if you can. Don't go nuts. Some competitions are bigger than others. Some are too big. Anything that says global or world in it, please don't waste your money on that, because those tend to be a little sketchy and expensive. But like the big ones, American Illustration, Society of Illustrators, Communication Arts, the really like, you know, old school legit ones, pick and choose. Save a little money, see if you can do it. I would prioritize Society and American Illustrator over all of them, and be very disciplined about what you want to submit. And take into consideration who is judging. See what they're doing. I'm not saying don't submit if you don't think you're going to win, because it doesn't even work that way. My first piece for the New York Times was, I don't know, a couple years ago, the first thing I did for the Times was for the travel section. And the art director of the travel section, Rodrigo, when he emailed me, he was like, oh, it's so great you can do this. I've wanted to hire you for a while. I was a judge for SOI 3 years ago. And I was like, and I've been wanting to hire you. And I was like, so you knew about me for 3 years. And now, like, you know, you can never really account for who's going to see your work, when they're going to want to work with you, if they're going to want to work for you. That's just out of your hands. But it does happen, and it happens a lot. It doesn't happen quickly all the time. It happens a lot. So it is worth it, in my opinion, but it is definitely not everything. And it's definitely worth considering the fact that the whole cost prohibitive thing is problematic. I'm not the only one to talk about this. A lot of people are talking about this right now, which I think is good. Hopefully we can like sort something out. But yeah, do it if you can. It's not going to ruin your life or your career if you can't. Anyway, did that make sense? There's a lot of rambling.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great. Wow.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Questions off are.
Yeah.
I was like, answered. No, I think that was
my answer style is very like this.
Yeah. So. You got to listen. But you get lots of information. What was the first award you ever won, and how many things did you apply for before getting it?
Oh, so the first thing I actually won was from the Society of Publication Designers as an art director, quote unquote, for my master's thesis. I made a magazine for my master's thesis because while I was getting my MFA in illustration from the Maryland Institute College of Art, that's for the listeners who don't know me, by the way. But like while I was getting my master's, I became very interested in art direction and ended up doing my thesis around it because I had trained as a graphic designer as an undergrad and I had worked in publishing a little bit. And I knew the mechanics of physically how to put together a publication. And I was like, okay, let's take that, but actually like hire 20 illustrators and hire 20 writers and see if you can like make this thing sing. And yeah, it was pretty good for the time. People still like to talk to me about it. And you know how it is with work that you've like done and you're done with and it's old work now. And you're just like, oh, I don't want to like talk about that. But you know, I put it into, here's the thing, on the technical side, it was in circulation. There were like, I don't know, 5,000 of them, like something like that. So they were in circulation and they were in stores as I had an ISBN number. I mean, it was not a zine. It was like an actual publication, like government sanctioned. They sold it at McNally Jackson. I was just the one person doing all that crap, but that actually qualified me to submit to SPD as an independent publication because I had an ISBN number. So I was like, okay. And I got a merit award. And at the time they were like, and I remember for that year, I had graduated my master's and then I started working at Time Out New York and SPD came up. I actually didn't even know about SPD in grad school. I knew about it because I was working at a magazine and they were submitting for their awards. And I was like, I'm going to submit my magazine for my award. And I got a merit award and I was very proud of that because I don't think Time Out won anything that year. So, but I did independently in my own art department. I was like, suck it, guys. But I got this merit award and I was very for the cover. It was for the cover and the back cover and which were illustrated. And I was very, actually I illustrated them, which was sort of like a drop in the bucket. Cause I was like, okay, fine. But I was very excited because at that time I, first of all, never won an award before. And secondly, at that time, they told me I was the only person who had ever won anything for a magazine that they made all by themselves with nobody else. And I was like, oh, that's cool for me. This was like right around the time that like there was a big boom in independent publishing. That was actually part of why I did my thesis. I was like, kinfolk, like rookie, like whatever. I can do that. So it felt good to get recognized for that. And that was what happened. And then also there were a couple illustrations in there by other people that I had hired who got into SOI with stuff they'd done. So I was then recognized by the society as an art director for the magazine that I made for other people's illustrations. So I don't think I got an award for actually my own illustrations until a year or two later. And it must've been American Illustration. I don't remember what it was, but I bet it was great. So yeah, that was fun. That was wild. Yes, so that's my first award story. And it felt really good. And I was really, really proud to see this work that I'd done like in the big SPD book. So yeah, I mean, but that's what I mean, you know, it's like on the one hand, awards are bullshit. On the other hand, they're not bullshit. They make you feel good. It's being recognized by your peers. Like I said, I think it's like the party. It's like lower your expectations, but also feel good about it. There's no reason to not feel good about it, but it's certainly not everything, not even close.
It seems like over and over I hear and am learning that like sometimes the best way to break into the industry and get people to know your
name.
Big quote, right? You can't see that. is to do things that aren't like meant to break into the. It's like not always about handing your business card out at American Illustration. It's about putting a big book together to benefit the community or making a podcast to be on an early career day.
Someone should do that. You know, I tell my students, well, I try and tell my students this in like a positive, just roll with it way, not like a, you're never going to make money unless you blah, blah, blah way. It's just a fact. Like, it is extremely rare that somebody graduates at 22 from all the great art schools.
Yeah.
And immediately starts making a livable wage as a freelance illustrator or a freelance designer. But that's the thing. You do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I had a million other jobs. And it's, even my current students, I mean, it's, we are all still really like rolling with this old narrative that you get out of college and someone's just going to hand you a check for doing the thing you studied. That's not how it works. And it's not really how it works in a lot of other fields too. The difference is we don't have like, well, we do have a version of like the office route, which a lot of people take because you get insurance and stability, hopefully. Not always the stability, but you know, it depends where you go. You go agency, you go into a publication, or whatever. And I actually feel, not just from my own experience, but just generally, there's a huge benefit to that. First of all, you're meeting people. Case closed. You are meeting people. No one knows you exist. Well, at least now this whole office, people knows you exist. My first actual commissioned work was when I was 20, and I was an intern in the art department at the New York Observer. And they were like, oh, you draw? And I was like, yeah. They were like, do you want to do an illustration about, like, this guy Barack Obama's like astrology chart? And I was like,
ooh, that is a fun first one.
I was like,
I've
heard of this Obama guy. He seems pretty cool. Like, let's do it. if I had like tried to get an illustration gig there from the outside, I don't think that would have happened. I happened to be an intern there at the time, and they were like, yeah, just do it. Because I was learning something about publishing in particular.
So yeah.
Shit just needs to get out the door. And if you are there and you can do the thing, they're gonna be like, do the thing.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're an intern, I just do the thing. And then I was able to tell people I was a published illustrator. Just to go back to what you said, what Basha said earlier, which is like doing things that sort of indirectly that are adjacent to being the person who draws the picture. You're not the person who's doing the illustration, you're adjacent to it, can sometimes have the roundabout effect of making you the person that people think of all of a sudden. And if you do that knowingly or not, it really doesn't matter. But I think what a lot of young illustrators do is sometimes think, well, if I'm not making illustrations and getting paid for them right now by all the publications or, you know, whatever clients I want, then I'm not doing it. And if somebody tries to make me do something else, I can't do that because that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. You do not want to cut yourself off at the knees. First of all, I've learned so much from other jobs that I've had that make me better at working independently. Secondly, just on a similarly practical level, you don't know who you're going to meet because guess what? Most people do not stay at one job for 30 years. That is not the world we live in. And I have so many of my first clients were people I knew from when I was an intern at the New York Observer. And then also people I worked with at Time Out, who all these people who went to other publications. Like I've drawn for Playboy. My old creative director or my old art director from Time Out went to Playboy. And he was like, do this. And I was like, sure. I was at Women's Wear Daily as a freelance art director. And then I went back being an illustrator again because I like to bounce between the two. I like to be busy. That's why I had a kid, because I like to be busy and tortured. And I was like, I'm not busy enough. Let's have a kid. But I went to Women's Wear Daily as a freelance art director. I did a little drawing for them in-house because I could. And then I left. And guess what? Like, those people went to different publications and I ended up getting my first client at Hearst because one of their art directors landed at Hearst. It's like, nobody is static. So like, why would you cut yourself off from meeting a bunch of people at one place who are eventually going to be at other places? And that's, it's funny because sometimes as illustrators, we don't think about that. You know, who does think about it all the time are writers and journalists. Like, they know that. So like, it's not to say take a job you hate for like, potential networking. But it's like, if you have the skills to take an in-house design job or like take an in-house animation job or like something like that, don't think, oh my God, well, I'm supposed to be an illustrator. So why am I like doing this thing? You can still be an illustrator. Like, do not worry. No one is going to take that away from you. But you might A, learn something, what a concept, and B, you might hit it off with people who will want to hire you in the future because they know all about you. They know how great you are to work with. They know how talented you are. Suddenly they're at a new place in a hiring position. They're like, oh man, I should reach out to Basha because I used to work with her at this place and I know she's great and I need a slam dunk right now. So like, this is what I'm going to do. That is how most fields work, and it is definitely how our field works. You cannot control whether or not someone's going to like your work. It's not about, oh my God, does this art director like my work? Honestly, you're never going to know. There are tons of people whose work I love who I've never been able to hire because I've never worked at the right place. And there are some people I've hired who I was like a little lukewarm on their work, but my editor-in-chief fell in love with it. So I was like, all right, let's just like fucking do it. It's fine. Doesn't matter. What matters is that people know you exist. Whether they like the work or not, you'll find out. It's honestly not really your concern. Your work is sacred. Your work is your practice. Do not try and appeal to what you think people think of your work. They just need to know you're there. That's all. Send an email. That's all.
Yeah, it's not about, like, there are more ways than one, than the conventional ways to go about, like, getting known in notoriety. Yes. Yeah.
And people generally tend to think fondly of other people who are community oriented. I mean, that's how I feel. Like, just to go back to my little like drink and draw or whatever example, even when I'm like, man, I don't feel like being social is annoying, I'm still like, wow, it's really nice of like such and such to put that together. And then of course I go and I have a great time and I'm like, I'm so glad you did this. Like, thank you. And you do think of people, and it's just, it's, I keep coming back to like, just thinking about the American Illustration Party. And like, I think that's my general advice for all of this is like, remember, it's a party first. It's a party first. Do that. And then like a lot of the real work, obviously that happens, that no one sees that. That's between you and the paper or the screen or the tablet or, you know, the whatever you're using, Blender, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. One last award question. Which is, what do they mean to you now? Now that, you know, you've won a bunch, you judge some, and you know, you're a teacher and you're advising people on how to apply. And
love advising.
Like, is it still important? I know you mentioned last year you didn't even apply, but maybe you will in the future.
So, you know what? I will in the future. It's good for me. It's, I know I sound like a broken record now. I keep coming back to the like being judged, as it were, by a panel of your peers always feels really good. But, you know, I mean, there are things, and there are also times that I've gotten the email that's like, we didn't go for you this year. And I'm like, that's fine, like, it happens. I was like, I just lit $200 on fire, but that's fine. It's going to the society, so be it. It's my illustrator tax this year. They are meaningful to me. And it's, right now in particular, I will say, and this is a little embarrassing, but I will tell you, and just tell you anyway. I had a baby in July, my first child, and it really threw me for a loop professionally. I didn't know what to expect, because it's one thing if you go on maternity leave from an office job and you like know what's waiting for you on the other side, more or less. I was just like, you know, I ended my contract with the Times a couple weeks before I gave birth. Because that was a contracted position, which means it doesn't include maternity leave. You know, I did that. And I always knew that after I had Ray, I was going to definitely start back again by freelancing. You know, if I end up landing back in-house at a certain point, that's great too, because I can never quit art direction because I love it so much also. But I thought freelancing will be easier, you know, more flexible as I'm starting to gear up. This does have to do with awards, by the way. Don't worry, I'm getting there. I did not forget. In those first couple months for me, where I was like, what is it going to be like? Like, I don't know, are people going to not hire me because I have a kid? I mean, I've seen some shit. It's not crazy to feel that way. Compounded by COVID and not really being able to like be around people and connect with people, which is normally really great after having a baby, but was like not a thing this past year, in case you're wondering. I was like, I was freaked out. I was like, this is, I mean, Chris can attest to this. I was like, my career's over. I had a baby. And he was just like, I don't think that's true, but I know you feel weird about it. So anyway, the reason this has to do with awards and the reason it's embarrassing is because I really did actually have to like go, I like dug through my portfolio. I looked at my dumb like internet bio and I was like, okay, like I had a baby. I love her to death. She is literally my greatest work of art. But they should give me an award for her. But for the first time in my life, I actually felt like I needed the institution to remind me. I've always been very anti-institution, especially as someone who works at an institute, which is a little weird, I know. But it's true. But like, I needed the superficial ego boost of being like, you're an award-winning illustrator. It's okay. Like, you made a kid. It's all right. No one can take that away from you. I needed that because I was in like early momhood. And it's like I said before, it's not like going on maternity leave from an office job. You don't really know how things are going to be on the other side. I needed to feel a little emboldened by my past accomplishments. I'm not saying that's a reason to do awards, but in the past year, it did play a funny little role for me that I could not have guessed in a million years, because I was really out of it for 6 months. I was raising my child. We didn't get childcare help until 2 months ago. So I've been working full-time for the past 2 months. But before that, I take little projects here and there. Sometimes Ray would be sitting next to me, like da-da-da. And it was great, but it was really hard. And I was like, is it going to be like this forever? I can't like fully focus when, you know, she's here. Quote unquote, like stupid industry stuff. Like knowing that, like, it almost made me feel like, okay, like the community recognizes me. It's okay. I'm taking a break to raise this kid. It's fine. So in a funny way, I would say that actually made me feel like, glad I won those awards so I could feel good about myself while I was like dealing with, you know, new baby stuff that was totally foreign to me. On a more perhaps relatable note for young people, I will say that it feels good to feel good, but I still am very, very adamant about not taking it too seriously. Take seriously the fact that your peers are recognizing you. Take seriously the fact that it's something to celebrate and feel good about. It is not the be-all end-all. There are some people who don't apply to them on principle. There are some people who are like, listen, like I've applied, I get tons of work, but like I never win these competitions. And I'm just like not, you know, there are sometimes dominating industry trends that other people who get plenty of work and do really great work never seem to break through. And it's just, I don't want to go, yes, on my bad days, I'm like, it's political. I hate it. It's a little political. It's a little bit, you know, of a, the more you apply, the more chance you get to win. And that's a money thing. So there are these like nasty little bits that make me always feel like I can feel good about this, but this is not the work. Winning awards is not the work. And that's okay. This is my very diplomatic answer.
That was so diplomatic.
Becoming a mother actually made me less judgmental, which was not what I thought would happen. I thought it would make me way more judgmental. But now I'm just like, it's cool, man. We're all living on this earth.
It's the Grateful Dead thing, too.
I was literally about to say, there's like a static image of Jerry Garcia just like staring at me from the TV. And it's like,
well, thank you so much, Alex, for joining us on this podcast, for sharing your wisdom. And this has been Cold Email. I'm Olive.
I'm Basha.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming.
Really.
And you guys
a privilege.
It was a privilege.
For all.
For all.
You can find Alex's work on her website, alexcitrin.com, and on her Instagram at alexcitrin, AlexCitrin. Thanks for listening.
Cold Email is a very professional podcast about being early career creatives and all the trials, tribulations, and good times that come with it. Recorded, written, and performed by Basha Kurlander and Olive LaGaze. Edited by Basha Kurlander. Follow us on Instagram at cold.email and check out our website, cold-email.tumblr.com. Email us at coldemail1000@gmail.com with any questions you want us to answer on the show, suggestions for future themes, or to inquire about guest starring in an episode. Music by Basha Kurlander, aka Marbly. As always, thanks for listening.
from stuff. I'm like, no.
I'm so glad you're
Which one you want me to read?
Well, you never really know if you're going to like still be good at reading or not.
Yeah. I mean, I can read and stuff.
You want me to read? Wait, which one do you want me to read? The bio or...